The voice of a gifted spiritual teacher carries authenticity, inspiration, and insight, all of which are transmitted in an instant. My name is Tammy Simon, and this is Voices of Wisdom from Sounds True. In this excerpt from Walking, The Ultimate Exercise for Optimum Health, best-selling author Dr. Andrew Weil discusses the benefits of walking and why it is the single best exercise for optimum health and well-being.
For years, I've been recommending walking as a best form of physical activity, but until now, I've never had the chance to sit down with an expert on walking and present a program on the subject. I've made walking a central part of my 8-week program for optimum health. I do it myself. I'm very committed to walking. I try to talk to others about the benefits of this simple form of exercise. But the more I think about it and the older I grow, the more I'm convinced that walking really is the best all-around form of exercise for people of all ages. I can remember in elementary school in a health class being told that walking was the best exercise or a best exercise, and I think at that time that idea went in one ear and out the other. Walking was so familiar to me, and it seemed in many ways so uninteresting and so boring that I really never paid a whole lot of attention to it. And in later life, as I became interested in physical exercise and began to experiment with different forms and then work with trainers and experts on exercise, I found it very easy to take on the attitude that walking was a kind of weak stepchild of other forms of physical fitness that use equipment and seem so much more spiffy and up-to-date and scientific. So it's taken me a while to come back around to the position that I heard years and years ago that walking really is the best exercise. So at the beginning of this program, I'd like to talk to you about some general concepts of walking, of what makes it so advantageous and so beneficial. The first is simply that our bodies are designed to walk. We are upright, bipedal organisms. We are meant to walk. We're perfectly designed for this kind of activity. So everyone knows how to do it. Walking also takes no equipment. It's free. You can do it anywhere. Walking can be very calming. It can help reduce anxiety, both through a direct effect of promoting endorphin release, as any kind of physical activity can, but also through the rhythmic movement that can be very soothing. And I think most importantly, it carries the least risk of injury of any form of exercise that I know. And this is a great concern. In recent years, I've been much interested in the subject of healthy aging. That's the title of my newest book. I've spent a lot of time looking at healthy old people to see what common patterns I can discern in their lifestyles. And one pattern certainly is maintenance of physical activity over time. And the people who are happiest in old age are the ones who are unrestricted in their movements and who have avoided disabling and painful injuries. Those injuries are often the result of incorrect use of the body, of either too much repetitive motion, too much of the wrong kind of motion, too much of the wrong kinds of activity. One of the pieces of advice that I give to young people is to try to choose your forms of activity carefully. That is, to be aware of the risks and to work to minimize them. For example, I see so many men in middle age who have ruined their knees as a result of injuries sustained in contact sports, in men who have refuse to give up playing basketball at a certain point in their life when it's obvious that this is not what they should be doing. I've also seen a lot of injuries in runners. And I think running provides an interesting contrast to walking. I mean, obviously running is a very beneficial form of activity for people whose bodies are designed for it, especially people who have sprinters' bodies who are light-boned and springy. But, you know, an awful lot of people traumatize their joints as a result of running. That just is not a risk of walking. It doesn't happen. Walking And I'd say swimming is another activity that does this. It allows joints to move freely in ways that are non-traumatizing so that you're not jarring joints. Things are swinging, moving freely. It's a very good way to keep the bones, joints, and muscles in good condition. I think there's also a sense among runners that running provides much greater fitness, much greater mental high than walking. Now, that may be true, but as I've looked at the subject, I think that over time, walking can provide all of the health benefits of more intense forms of exercise. And as I say, I think the overwhelming benefit is that it carries the least risk of injury of any form of exercise. There's another aspect of walking that's unique and that I am very impressed by. When we walk, our arms and legs move in opposite directions. This is called cross-patterning movement. And it's been looked at by people interested in neuromuscular function. And I particularly learned some things about it from working with osteopathic physicians who are very interested in the mechanics of the human body. This cross-pattern movement appears very early in life. Infants, when they begin to crawl, do it in the same way. They extend opposite arms and legs. And that kind of cross-pattern movement is correlated with electrical activity in the brain that seems to stimulate brain development. So it's the actual cross-pattern movement that stimulates the brain to the next levels of development and development of the muscular system of the body. One old osteopathic physician that I worked with for many years would often prescribe crawling as a remedy to patients who were disabled by severe back pain, and said that by doing this, they would go back to an earlier state and reprogram the brain. I think when we walk and let our arms swing freely, we are establishing brain rhythms that are healthy for us in general and that have widespread effects on both physical and mental health. So that's one practical tip, is that when you walk, to allow your arms and legs to swing freely in that totally natural cross-pattern movement. Another advantage of walking that I experience often is that it takes me to places that I like to be. I can walk outdoors. I can use walking as an opportunity to think, to disengage from my usual kind of activity of sitting in an office or working at a desk. There's a lot of visual stimulation when you walk. Things are passing by. And I think that kind of visual stimulation, especially if you're in a natural environment, is healthy to experience as well. You can walk with other people. So walking can be a very pleasant social activity. Walking and talking is something that I think is done in all cultures. I find it very delightful. Often, sometimes if I have something weighty to talk about with a friend, I might suggest that we go for a walk and talk. If I'm in a city, I find that walking is the best way to get physical activity. But there's some cautions here because in the United States especially, many cities are not friendly to walkers. I remember quite recently being in Albuquerque and trying to go for a walk in an area where there were no sidewalks. And it was actually dangerous to deal with vehicles on the road. I've been in cities where if you try to walk, you're blasted by car exhaust. Or there are areas of cities that feel unsafe to be a pedestrian for other reasons. You know, the city in the U.S. where walking is done most intensively is New York in Manhattan, where many, many people walk every day to and from work and to and from other appointments. I think when you join in that activity, you know, when you're in a city where the major means of getting around is by walking, you experience a city in a totally different way. And I think it's no accident that in Manhattan you see far less obesity than you do in other American cities. And in fact, you know, walking around Manhattan, it's much more like walking around cities in Japan or cities in Europe that are pedestrian friendly. I've spent a lot of time in Japan where at the moment obesity is still quite rare, and the morning commute is something to behold. People usually walk significant distances to commuter train stations. They then go up and down numerous flights of steps to train platforms. They walk along train platforms. They get off at their station and then walk another significant distance to work. Now, I suppose some people could argue that in Manhattan you also see higher levels of smoking than you do in other areas of the country, and that might also contribute to less obesity. But I certainly feel that the physical activity from walking that you see in Manhattan and similar cities is a principal factor that helps people moderate their weight and increase their health.
You've been listening to Voices of Wisdom from Sounds True, sponsored by Bread for the Journey. For more wisdom for the inner life, please visit www.soundstrue.com.